dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business. SwissAmerica.com brings you the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host, your escort for this installment of the War of Ideas, which we'll be waging with J.D. Gordon, the former Secretary of Defense military spokesman for the Western Hemisphere, and his portfolio for about 4 years was to explain Guantanamo Bay, what was going on there. And he'll be doing so with us today as he describes the trial that is beginning, the first under the Obama administration of an enemy combatant incarcerated there. What does that mean, that the Obama administration is now taking such individuals into the military tribunal program? And what does it mean particularly for your security if the end of Guantanamo Bay is still in sight for this administration? Secondly, we will be talking with David Bellavia. He is an author. He is a combat veteran. He is a man who knows a lot about threats to this country and has written a very important piece about one that we absolutely positively must be paying attention to, namely the threat to our electrical grid from most unlikely sources, as well as some very dangerous enemies. You'll need to know what he has to say about the implications of that threat for you. And then finally, this being Tuesday, we will conclude the program with our expert on lawfare, Andy McCarthy, the author of The Grand Jihad, New York Times bestseller, and our duty expert on issues like the Ground Zero Mosque. What is the latest on that, and what insights can we take from other mosques, notably one in Northern Virginia that the State Department seems enamored of? We'll get into all of that with Andy McCarthy in segment four. But first up, a few thoughts on news of the day, which is that the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, is proposing major cuts in the United States budget for the Defense Department. He is doing so in a number of different ways. He proposes to eliminate an entire military command, the Joint Forces Command, which is responsible for doctrine, for the coordination with our NATO allies in Afghanistan, and for assuring the readiness of our forces, really vital functions. He's also proposing to cut into the numbers of general and flag officers by about 50, cut the number of senior executives in the Defense Department, about told at some 150, cut the number of contractors supporting the military by over 30% in 3 years' time, and closing two Office of Secretary of Defense organizations as well, all of which he hopes will, together with cuts in actual military programs, produce as much as $100 billion in savings over 5 years. He proposes to have that money plowed back into the military, the savings, that is. But we'll talk in a minute about whether that's very likely. Let me just say that I'm quite sympathetic, actually, with what the Secretary of Defense sees the need to do. He needs to stabilize defense spending. He's trying to propose an arrangement whereby, by making savings, he can get an agreement from Congress to maintain a steady 1% real growth in the defense budget. That makes eminent sense, because what we have done in the past and what we are poised to do yet again, it would appear, is a series of bust and boom spending programs with the Defense Department, which is to say, as I think the Secretary put it, that's sort of like an electrocardiogram with these peaks and valleys that are incredibly inefficient and wasteful. Not least because when we go through the bust phase, which is to say the drawdowns, the peace dividend phases, we invariably signal weakness to enemies and invite them, encourage them, embolden them to believe that there's a vacuum of power that they can fill at our expense. What typically happens is we realize that's a terrible mistake. We wind up having to go to war. We throw money at the Defense Department, and needless to say, the loss of lives as well as treasure is ridiculously high and unnecessarily so. So the Secretary doesn't want to do that anymore. I'm, again, sympathetic. He is, as I said, probably operating under no illusion that he will actually see that money go back into the Defense Department if he saves it. Buck McKeon, the ranking Republican on the House Armed Services Committee, says don't count on it. The congressional Democrats will spend it on their domestic priorities. And the Secretary of Defense himself has said that he's worried that people will see the defense budget, quote, as a place to solve the nation's deficit problems. Well, whatever they may think, what's actually going to happen, I'm afraid, is we will see these cuts and more done by a Congress that is, at least if it remains in Democratic hands, all too preoccupied with paying more and more and more for their domestic priorities, and less and less interested in, less and less concerned about the armed forces of the United States. And I'm here to tell you, folks, I think that these armed forces of ours, these magnificent armed forces, in time of war, need our support, not to be further cut, especially when the cuts are now coming into the bone. We're not talking about fat. We're beyond muscle. We're into the bone. Every single one of the services has had one of its major, if not the major, program gutted under this administration. The Air Force F-22, the Navy's next generation destroyer, probably the Navy's only modernization for the strategic forces, namely the submarines that launch ballistic missiles, seem to be in peril. The Army's future combat system, the Marines' expeditionary fighting vehicle, these are the backbone of the power projection capabilities of the United States, especially when you add on top of it the C-17, the transporter that we require to get our forces to distant locations in time. These are the sorts of things that we cut at our peril, and we're doing it. In addition, the Secretary of Defense is calling for more base closures. We've had 5 rounds of base closures. We've closed over 350 installations. Again, I'm afraid that the muscle and fat are long since gone. The bone is what's at stake now. In every respect, we are talking about cuts that the United States cannot afford to take. And the irony is that we're always told we can't afford to make these kinds of investments. I believe now more than ever, in a world that is becoming increasingly more dangerous, we can't afford to go down this road. I hope you will help us in pushing back, in encouraging your legislators to ensure that we have the forces we need, that they've got the equipment they need, that they're trained to use that equipment, and they have the culture of the military that is absolutely essential to its future viability. See the Military Coalition's Military Culture Coalition's website for more on the latter, by the way. That's it for my monologue. Next up, we've got J.D. Gordon on Gitmo, the trial underway today, and what it might mean for you. Straight ahead.
Do you want the big picture on national security and foreign policy? Find out what Ronald Reagan meant by peace through strength at securefreedomradio.org. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Pat Boone here with a news flash. Finally, there's something conservatives and liberals can agree on. Gold. For thousands of years, gold has united mankind regardless of race, religion, or politics. Gold conserves wealth from financial uncertainty, a higher cost of living, and higher taxes. Yet gold also offers liberal benefits, such as growing fourfold since 2001. In fact, gold transcends left-right politics because its value is based upon ultimate economic truth and substance. So, whether you're a conservative, liberal, or independent, gold should be a part of your portfolio and family legacy. Call Swiss America now and request their free 2010 DVD, CD, and Economic Realities Report.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513. 888-393-7513.
Imagine you are a small child living a constant nightmare of abuse and neglect. Late one night, you are rescued from this awful situation and whisked off to a shelter. It happens so fast you have no time to take anything with you. No stuffed animal, no special blanket, not even a clean change of clothes. Scared and with people you don't even know, you have nothing to cling to for comfort. Sadly, each year in America, over 300,000 children endure this trauma and are placed in foster care with empty hands and empty hearts. That's where we come in. With your help, My Stuff Bags Foundation can give these kids their very own My Stuff duffels filled with new toys, a stuffed animal, and other desperately needed items. Let's show thousands of children across America that people do care about them with new belongings and new hope. Please call 8663-MY-STUFF or visit mystuffbags.org. That's 8663-MY-STUFF or mystuffbags.org. Thank you.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are joined by J.D. Gordon, the former Secretary of Defense spokesman for the Western Hemisphere from 2005 to 2009, a retired Navy commander and, I'm very pleased to say, a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy. J.D. Gordon, a man who knows a lot about Guantanamo Bay. And, J.D., it is once more in the news. We're very glad to have you with us to discuss it. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate the opportunity.
Let's talk about this chap, Omar Khadr, the relatively young man from Canada, I'm told, who was picked up in Afghanistan after allegedly fragging, killing an American corpsman by the name of Sergeant First Class Christopher Spear. His trial begins today, the first in the under the Obama administration, a military trial at Guantanamo Bay. What should we understand about the background to this particular case and the implications of this trial now going forward under the Obama team?
Well, I think it's important to understand that the Obama administration understands the value of military commissions, and that also Omar Khadr should be held accountable for his crimes. He allegedly threw a grenade in a firefight in July 2002 in Coast, where a U.S. Special Forces Sergeant First Class Christopher Speer was killed. And I think Omar Khadr has been controversial for a long time for a lot of reasons. First of all, his nationality, he's a Canadian citizen, but yet he was raised most of his life in Pakistan and Afghanistan. In fact, Omar Khadr grew up with the bin Laden kids on the same compound in Afghanistan. Omar's father, Ahmed Saeed Khadr, was one of the top fundraisers for Osama bin Laden. And so a lot of the critics for Guantanamo, specifically NGOs and some in the press, have tried to hold Khadr up as the poster child, if you will, for everything they see wrong with Guantanamo, basically due to his age, and he was seriously wounded as well in the firefight. And so I think that you'll see this trial unfold over the next 2 weeks, and I think the Obama administration is doing the right thing, keeping him in military commissions and not transferring him back to Canada.
And when you say his age, he was 15, I guess, at the time he was apprehended after this attack on an American serviceman. He's now some 23 years old, I gather. But he's being portrayed, I guess, by the defense as some sort of child warrior, and therefore they're hoping to see if they can't get him some sort of special treatment. Is that right?
That's correct. That's always been the defense strategy. In fact, Khadr's had about 12 defense attorneys because he keeps firing them. I've seen Khadr in person in court many times, dozens of times, since 2006. He's been before the judge so many times. And even though he's fired so many defense attorneys, a constant theme in his defense is that he was only a child soldier at the time. And that's what he says. That's what his defense attorneys say. He was 15 years and 10 months at the time, and then by the time he got to Guantanamo, a few months later, he was already 16. In fact, his birthday is next month, so he'll be 24.
Yeah.
But how old do you have to be to kill? I think that anyone can understand that if you actually kill someone, throw a grenade, and you're responsible for the death of someone else, you should definitely be held accountable. So I am glad that the Obama administration has been basically forced to keep military commissions going, and that hopefully Khadr will he'll be found guilty, but that's up to the judge and the jury, and so we'll see. I'm sure he'll have a full and fair trial.
We're talking with J.D. Gordon, a former spokesman for the Secretary of Defense with responsibility, among other things, in the Western Hemisphere for talking about Guantanamo Bay. You've spent a lot of time there. You understand intimately these kinds of issues involving the detainees, not just their trials and judicial processes, but the incarceration issues as well. J.D., tell us, why is an individual who allegedly killed an American serviceman in Guantanamo in the first place? Was there something special about this young man? Was it his family ties to a senior al-Qaeda figure that prompted the special treatment, or is this really not that special treatment?
Well, I think when Guantanamo first opened up in early 2002, many detainees were sent there from Bagram in Afghanistan, and he was held at Bagram, and I think it just seemed that he would be a natural person to go to Guantanamo since he was involved in the death of a U.S. service member directly. That was the allegation, and I think that he was looked at as a possible military commissions candidate for a long time. I think one thing that's interesting to note about military commissions is that when he first went up for commission some 5 years ago, the thought was that he would be up for a matter of weeks or months, along with Salim Hamdan, who was bin Laden's driver, David Hicks, the Australian Taliban. And the reason they went first is because they had the most evidence against them. And so they seemed like the easiest cases that were open and shut. But what happened is there were so many complex legal issues. In fact, military commissions went to the Supreme Court under Hamdan v. Rumsfeld, and the Bush administration was defeated there in June 2006. And so basically what you saw is the easiest three cases take the longest, even though they were for relatively a minor detainees compared to, say, the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the 9/11 plotter. So you had basically one individual who was 15 at the time of the attack, one individual who was a driver, and one individual who didn't fire a shot, David Hicks.
Yeah.
And so basically, unfortunately for Guantanamo, the way that was done to put the easiest cases first was very detrimental to the Defense Department, because then the press and NGOs would hold up and say, hey, this is the best you got,
yeah,
a kid, right, a driver. And unfortunately, that nobody understood how many legal challenges would be forthcoming at the time. So that's one of the sort of the hidden challenges for Guantanamo.
J.D., we're talking with J.D. Gordon. This really does speak to the whole issue of sort of the lawfare that is being waged against our country through mostly American lawyering, and some of whom are now in the Justice Department, but many of them still in the private sector, the so-called Guantanamo Bar. Tell us, in the wake of all of this lawyering, this lawfare, J.D. Gordon, where do you think we are with respect to Guantanamo Bay? There's been reports that the administration is continuing to try to empty the place, albeit sort of in dribs and drabs rather than wholesale, that it remains committed, probably not until after the election, of course, to having trials back in the United States in civilian courts, and that it remains determined to close the place. What's your take on all of that? We've only got about a minute and a half left, but give us your best read.
Well, I think Guantanamo is going to be around for a while, and rightly so. I think a lot of the administration actions are going to depend on what happens with the elections in November. If the Republicans have a strong showing and if they can take back the House and take back the Obama administration, definitely won't have the leverage to move anywhere with Guantanamo. So that's what I hope, because I think Guantanamo really does keep the public safe. It keeps dangerous terrorists off the battlefield. Right now there's about 176 down there, and the Obama administration has been releasing a few at a time. When he took office, there were 241. So, you know, it's been a steady glide slope down. But there are a number of detainees that can't be released because they would go back to the battlefield immediately. And the Obama administration has recognized that. And I don't think they're going to have much luck, provided that that the American people vote for the Republicans.
Yeah, it will obviously be very, very important to the outcome of Guantanamo Bay and to the future safety and security of the American people, that they understand that elections have consequences. And if they vote for people who are in favor of closing Guantanamo Bay, if they're in favor of bringing them to trial in places like New York City, I think it's absolutely predictable that the dangers will increase considerably. J.D. Gordon, thank you so much for joining us today for an update on Guantanamo Bay and an insight into the Omar Khadr trial. We'll be following it closely and looking forward to having you back for a conversation about all of this in the near future. Next up, we have David Bolivia, an author who will be talking with us, among other things, about the vulnerabilities of our electrical grid. Are you ready for an America without power? Straight ahead.
Download podcasts, hear clips, read the bios of the amazing people Frank Gaffney interviews, all at securefreedomradio.org. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
The following commercial is sponsored by FeedThePig.org, an organization devoted to helping you save money. We will not entice you with messages like
lowest prices in town, dealer approved, certified pre-owned,
no obligation consultation,
nor will we brag about our
huge selection, enormous variety,
one-stop shopping,
everything under one roof,
or promise
prices reduced up to 75%.
A sale like this can't go on forever. Factory liquidation.
Financing options available.
We will offer no contingencies like
see store for details.
Prices and participation may vary.
Legal exclusions apply.
No purchase necessary.
We'll try to convince you that our product will give you
cleaner, tighter abs in minutes.
Perfect smile. Porcelain veneers.
Freedom from those painful, embarrassing bunions.
Because we simply want to help you spend smarter and save better. Log on to feedthepig.org. Find the benefits of saving for every stage of life. Brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Price check on aisle. Ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this. So why ignore the signs of a stroke?
If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable childcare near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Steven and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Steven a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just 20 bucks in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Make Facebook your source for essential national security analysis. Search for Frank Gaffney and add him to your friends list.
Welcome back. We are joined for this segment of Secure Freedom Radio by David Bellavia, distinguished military staff sergeant in the United States Army, who served for over 6 years, including a tour, at least one, in Iraq, which was the source for a fabulous book he has written, a war memoir entitled House to House, an epic memoir of war. And David, it is great to have you with us for Secure Freedom Radio review, not only of the battlefield that you have recently experienced, both in uniform and as an embedded reporter. You've done marvelous work for a number of publications, including the Weekly Standard, National Review, Washington Post, but also Fox News, BBC, CNN, and so on. We're very privileged to have you with us here. But before we get into that, I was fascinated by something that I believe you blogged on recently concerning the possibility that the United States will be forced to operate possibly for years, without electricity. Tell us what that possibility is all about and what we might do to prevent it.
Well, I'm first of all, Frank, thanks for having me on. Great admirer of your work and everything you stand for and do. I'm working with this group called Impact America, and basically what we're concerned about, if NASA came out recently, we're in the middle of a solar flare cycle, meaning that, NASA came out and said there's a 10% chance that in the very near future we may experience a great geomagnetic storm that would essentially bring our nation to its knees, completely eliminate our infrastructure. An EMP is an electric magnetic pulse that will, in layman's terms, fry everything that we have electric. And, it's the equivalent of saying that we have a 10% chance of a thermonuclear bomb going off, a cataclysmic war happening, a 10% chance of doom. This isn't a weather forecast. And you would think that it would cause alarm. And what Impact America is trying to do, we just helped pass legislation in the House. It's a bill called H.R. 5026. It was a unanimous vote, and it's a bipartisan bill, which is really hard to find these days, Democrats, Republicans working together. And what's so alarming is that Harry Reid in the Senate has absolutely killed this bill. And here at a time when NASA's telling us that we're really in a chance to get a solar flare that will literally kill everything that we need, sewage, banking, water, the list goes on.
Food distribution, transportation, as you say, medical services. And let's, if I may interrupt you, David, the thing that is so appalling about this and that I've been so excited to see your team at Impact America take on is this kind of phenomenon, the naturally occurring phenomenon, is a certitude. We're going to confront that for sure with predictable and devastating effects on our grid. There's two other possibilities, as you know, David, Bellavia, that are also in prospect. One is an electromagnetic pulse attack from a nuclear weapon, presumably launched perhaps from off our coasts, and the other is cyber attacks. You're telling me that Harry Reid in the United States Senate is impeding the kinds of corrective actions that might make it possible for this country to survive one or the other of these terrible, terrible threats?
It's absolutely inexcusable, especially after just the easy passage through the House of Representatives. And what's amazing about this is it's almost like it's being used as leverage. And that's what's so despicable about this is that, you mentioned, and this is something you've been talking about for a long, long time. But, we talked about the threat we have from Iran and a high altitude explosion from a nuclear blast. But the thing that's so, hardening the electric grid, we can go it's so easy to do, especially living in this culture of TARP where we're throwing billions of dollars on shrimp farms and so many unnecessary, we're throwing peanut farms into the Defense Authorization Act, but yet $100 million can prepare us from literally doom. And it boggles the mind how we don't have any plans at the local level. We're depending on the federal government to bail us out. And in a situation where you have no communications, it's going to be a very difficult thing for the federal government to be able to respond to. We need local plans. We need to harden the grid. We need to protect this nation from a threat from an enemy that, quite frankly, if I was the enemy, that's how you take down a super giant. That's how you take down a superpower.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why the Senate would block this.
Well, and we know for a fact, David Bellavia, that some of those enemies are hard at the weapon systems, the platforms, the nuclear devices that could give them the capability to do just that kind of catastrophic harm to this country. It is the height of irresponsibility on the part of Senator Reid, or for that matter, anybody else, to stand in the way of the sort of corrective actions that Impact America, and I want you to give the website, David, for Impact America so people can learn more about this, the threat that is real, both from naturally occurring phenomena and from man-caused disasters, as the administration likes to say, and what they can do to help take corrective action.
Well, thank you very much, Frank. I appreciate that. It's EMPActAmerica.org, And one of the things we're really calling on people to do is to contact your local senator. If not your congressman, your congressman and congresswoman did their job with H.R. 5026. We're asking them to contact their senator. And if they're not behind this, they need to be shamed. They need to be publicly outed of why they're not protecting our culture and our way of life. This is, it boils down to just abusing the American people. And we depend on our government to protect us. And those senators that stand in our way should be shamed and publicly outed. And that's what Impact America, regrettably, is going to be in the position to do.
Yeah. Well, look, we will be helping you do that here at Secure Freedom Radio, and we hope to get you back frequently to keep us abreast of both the impediments through the legislative process and otherwise that that need to be overcome, because I'm convinced that there is no higher priority than ensuring that this country can withstand the kind of assault on its infrastructure. All really of its infrastructures that the loss of our electrical capability would constitute. Listen, we've only got about 2 minutes left, David Bellavia, but I wanted to call attention to something else that you've been involved in for some time that I think is really important. And that's an organization you helped co-found called Vets for Freedom. One of the most exciting things, and talk about corrective actions, one of the most exciting things to me is that I know Vets for Freedom and the team of folks like yourself who have served with such distinction in the present, what I call War for the Free World's combat zones, have been to see if some of you can't move into the arena, the political arena, through the electoral system in this fall's elections. And just give us a quick sense of what that actually involves at the moment and the kinds of people who you think might be in a position to help with these challenges in the future.
Well, we've got our executive director right now, Pete Hegseth, and all the team at Vets for Freedom. They picked 10 candidates that are literally ready. And quite frankly, most of these, actually all of them are, if not leading the polls, are 2 points behind. But what this is in 1948, you had four future presidents in the House of Representatives. Every generation has been allowed to run on the pedigree of their warrior ethos, of the way that they were able to test their intestinal fortitude and their leadership under the most, difficult, austere environments of combat. And what our generation is doing right now is saying, look, we're going to run individuals who truly understand all the ethics of the way we've led our lives under a military code, the discipline. And that translates into discipline in spending. It translates.
And leadership. And we're going to have to let it go at that. David, thank you so much for what you're doing, both at Impact America and at Vets for Freedom. Please come back soon. Next up, we've got Andy McCarthy talking to us about the latest from the Ground Zero Mosque. You're not going to believe what's happening there now and what it might mean for you. Straight ahead.
First line of defense in the war of ideas. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org. Ever vigilant. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Hello, friend. Pat Boone here with some good financial news for a change. Although stocks, bonds, and real estate may be stuck in a rut this year, the next mega stage of the long-term bull market in gold and silver is just beginning. Experts say gold will soon rush to new historic highs because gold alone is real money and offers value, safety, and growth. Gold is no longer a luxury. Today it's a necessity. Safety first. Start now by letting Swiss America educate and inspire you to rediscover gold for your existing IRA. Ask for their rare opportunity, DVD and CD. Stop worrying about financial gloom and do something to protect yourself.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Swiss America knows gold.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life, as you know it, has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Fire took place 3 years ago. There was a lightning strike. The winds picked up and the fire just took off. You're in shock. You don't know what you're feeling. You have nothing. I lost my home and 40 years worth of art. I never thought that I would need help from the Red Cross. They gave me emotional support to get up in the morning. I'll never forget what the Red Cross did for me.
Contact your local Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org.
Joel Klein catches a 7 o'clock train after his evening CPR class at the American Red Cross.
Ron Garrity's on the same train. He's had a rough day and doesn't feel like himself. Until he feels the sudden tightness in his chest, Ron never thought he'd actually have a heart attack.
Until Joel is administering CPR, he never thought he'd actually save a life.
When you train with the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your...
Hey, Charlie, what gives?
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Oh, unbelievable. What do they feed that guy?
Yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I was playing, what we tried to
you,
do...
You played on Biltmore Street.
Hey, come on. I play in the service.
Oh, right.
Anyhow, what I'm trying to say is the kid, he
should have fallen down. Hey, you okay? Stop joking around. Oh, no. Someone call 911!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, and many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk, but it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. Well, it's Tuesday, segment 4, and that means it's Andy McCarthy time. And I consider that to be one of the high points of the week here at Secure Freedom Radio. Andy, welcome back. It's always great to have you with us.
Frank, great to be here. Hope you're well.
I am indeed, and there's a lot going on in terms of the Ground Zero Mosque, and you've written about it today at National Review Online, where you frequently contribute to the security policy debate with such distinction. And tell us what the latest is with respect to this idea of putting a $100 million mosque in immediate proximity to some of America's most hallowed ground.
Well, Frank, you remember our friend Claudia Rosette broke a story a few days ago about the possibility that the State Department was funding the travel that the suddenly missing imam Faisal Raouf has evidently been making to the Persian Gulf region. It's evidently reported now that the that they are indeed using him as a United States government emissary on a trip to the Gulf region. And this gets reported only a few days after Robert Gibbs said the Obama administration and the president in particular didn't have any position on the Ground Zero Mosque because, of course, this administration would never want to interfere in local affairs.
Never.
But we learn at the same time that the State Department is using Raouf as an emissary, that the State Department has also posted on its website Mayor Bloomberg's vigorous, passionate speech of last week, saying that those of us who oppose the mosque were to be ashamed of ourselves. So,
right. All us racists and bigots. This really is a travesty, Andy. So you're saying, as best we can tell, Faisal Raouf is using this trip, and I think he went to Malaysia before the Gulf, as a fundraising exercise. So we may not only be in the position where the United States government is legitimating a fellow who is quite clearly an advocate for Sharia, bringing it to this country, and you've written in The Grand Jihad how Islam and the left are sabotaging America brilliantly about precisely this kind of situation. But we're actually helping him raise the money to build the mosque that Mayor Bloomberg is so keen on, and evidently so is President Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, of course they say that that's not what's going on at all, as if we dopey Americans should be we should be relieved that he's only doing United States government business, you know, raising funds. But you know, as Claudia points out, that you know, raising funds is a certain way of doing it, and you know, the fact that he's getting face time in that region is obviously can only be helpful to him.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing that developed
before you leave that point, can I just say, obviously, what is critical to his ability to raise funds for this project is going to be increasing the sense that it's going to happen. And I think you're going to get into some of the reasons why that perception is not appropriate. But if we're, through our government and its support for this guy, signaling that that it is, in fact, endorsing the project, then I would guess that that can only enhance his prospects for shaking down Wahhabi and other, you know, sources of funds.
I couldn't agree with that more. I think the political approach of the Obama administration, which is hyperly political, is always to create a sense of inevitability about the things it would like to see happen, whether it wants to have its fingerprints all over them or not. And on the point that you've just raised, this question about how inevitable is it, we also learn that there seems to have been some misrepresentation about what the status of the real estate was. It now emerges that the Soho Properties, a company that's working with Raouf on this project, doesn't own the space that it needs for this project. It owns about probably half of the space.
Uh-huh.
The other half is owned by Con Edison. And that means that, it turns out that the Public Service Utility Commission in New York will now have a lot to say about this. Apparently, Soho Properties would like to buy Con Ed's interest outright, but so far they only own Con Edison's lease, which means there's a lot of strings attached.
Interesting.
But interestingly, for the New York gubernatorial race, the governor is the one who appoints the commissioners on the Public Utility Commission. So we have the interesting face-off of Andrew Cuomo, the Democratic nominee and the state attorney general who would like to see the mosque, and Rick Lazio, the Republican nominee who was opposed to the mosque and is now promising that he would pick commissioners that would stop the transaction from happening.
Fantastic. Interesting. Andy, we're going to run out of time before we run out of topics. Let me segue from there to a mosque in Northern Virginia, which you have written about as well earlier this week, and the connections, the insights, I guess I would say, that you have provided from some of our experience with it and their relevance to the New York Caper.
Well, thanks, Frank. The what I wrote about was the Dar al-Hijra Mosque in Virginia, and what I found very interesting about that is that just like we're seeing with the Ground Zero Mosque, the State Department is enthralled by the Dar al-Hijra Mosque. It's so much so that it actually featured the mosque in a video that the State Department provided over its website last year called Eid in America, which is basically a celebration of Islam in America, with the Dar al-Hijra Mosque presented as the face of Islam in America. And, you know, it doesn't take a lot of digging to see that it's the, you know, one of the most radical mosques in the United States. So you have, you know, one guy presented, one imam presented as, you know, the avuncular director of outreach, who's glowing about, you know, his community and how it's growing and how diverse it is, et cetera. And then you get what State doesn't report, which is that the guy is rabidly anti-Israel, talks in sermons and speeches about blowing up bridges and the like. We learn that it was the perch from which Al-Laki, the notorious Al-Qaeda recruiter who's now holed up in Yemen, actually ministered to a couple of the 9/11 hijackers and to the guy who carried out the Fort Hood massacre, Major Hassan. So when you dig a little deep into what's going on at this mosque, which is bizarrely celebrated by the State Department, what you get is pretty frightening.
Yeah. Well, and let's just finish up in the remaining minute or so we have with you, Andy McCarthy, of National Review Online and our featured regular guest here on Tuesdays at Secure Freedom Radio, about Al-Waqi. Because as I understand it, there is now a concerted effort being made by some of your friends, and I use that term euphemistically, in the lawfare business here, the Center for Constitutional Rights and the American Civil Liberties Union specifically, to try to protect this fellow, who is no longer with the Dar al-Hijra Mosque, but is now operating out of Yemen, where he's not only influenced apparently Major Hassan, but several other terrorists who have tried to kill Americans. The argument being that because he's an American citizen, he should be somehow protected from efforts by our government to capture or kill him. The judge who presided over your trial of the blind sheikh back in 1993, Michael Mukasey, was on yesterday and spoke rather directly on this point, but I'd love to get your views as well. Should such protections, in fact, be accorded to people like Al-Waqi?
Well, no, I think it's silly. I mean, you know, look, what they're doing, I'd be delighted if the ACLU and the Center for Constitutional Rights were as concerned about the health and welfare of Americans who aren't committing terrorism than the Americans who are leading terrorism.
Yeah.
But that said, you know, when there is a war, the president, as the commander-in-chief, has to conduct military operations, and the courts have held for over half a century that if you fight with the enemy, you're an enemy combatant, even if you're an American. And that's a principle that comes out of the post-World War II cases, and it was upheld by the Supreme Court in 2004. So I don't think that Al-Laki gets any special protection by virtue of the fact that he's an American. I'll agree. Okay,
but I'm going to have to let it go at that, I'm afraid. We'll have you come back and explain what else you would agree to. But for the moment, let's leave it at that. Hang him high is my view, and I hope we get him in a position to do so. Andy, thank you for joining us as always. It's great to have you with us. Keep up the splendid work, and come back to us next week. And that's it for this installment. Secure Freedom Radio. Hope you've enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. This is Frank Gaffney.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, brought to you by SwissAmerica.com.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.